Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine.
Okay, well, that's supposed to play automatically, but I guess it didn't, so we're going to get started. Look around you. Look at your community, your town, your city, state, country. Look at the world itself. Look at our media, our politics, our businesses, our culture. You will see people acting as if they are separate, alone. You will experience people thinking and behaving in ways that cause needless suffering, further division, and reckless destruction. From the living room to the boardroom, today's special guest, Aztec and Mexican-American author and thought leader, Dr. Anita Sanchez, is calling of all of humanity to pause, take a breath, and remember our unbreakable human bond. In her latest book, The Four Sacred Gifts, Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Times, Anita invites all of us to open our hearts and receive four gifts from the world's elders, that they are more timely than ever. Anita Sanchez, PhD, is a transformational leadership consultant, speaker, coach, and author. She bridges indigenous teachings with the latest science to inspire and equip women and men to enjoy meaningful, empowered lives and careers. And now it's my pleasure to introduce you to my special guest, Anita Sanchez. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. It's wonderful. So when we talk about indigenous wisdom, what exactly are we talking about? What is indigenous?
Well, in an anthropological sense, a definition, actually, we are all human beings are indigenous, because we all come from the earth, from the various elements in the earth and the sky. However, when I use the word indigenous and how most people use it, we're really talking about nations, tribes, really ancient, old, rich cultures that and people who continue to use the original knowledge and practices. The practices mean that they have an intimate connection with Mother Earth, and they also understand that we're all part of one hoop of life.
And your story of awakening to the power of indigenous wisdom was influenced by the sacred circle hoop of 100 eagle feathers, right?
So, yes.
What can you explain to us what that is, how it came about, and what it's used for?
Yes, so there is a prophecy. It's called the Eagle Hoop Prophecy. Like many, you have beliefs and visions. And so this Eagle Hoop Prophecy was one that came in the 90s. And in that vision was a call out to elders all over the world, and 27 indigenous elders responded. And they gathered and basically did ceremony for the weekend, prayed, chanted, sang. And what Spirit said is build this hoop and put 100 eagle feathers on it, and in that hoop place 4 gifts. And these are critical because these 4 gifts will help all humankind remember how to create harmony and balance, to remember that we are one world, one human race, one, and that we need to remember that in order to have harmony and balance.
So, and in this hoop is where the 4 sacred gifts are, the promise
yes.
of the 4 sacred gifts. So what are those? What are they? What are the 4 sacred gifts?
Okay, so the gifts that they put in there, that Spirit told them to do this. The first was the power to forgive the unforgivable. The second gift is the power of unity. The third gift is the power of healing. And the fourth gift is the power of hope in action. Those 4 gifts, use them, and you will remember that you are part of, not separate from, of all beings of the human race, and your connection also to nature and the earth.
So this hoop is used by the elders, or is it used, so this has not become a mainstream thing for everyone, right? It's just those who follow indigenous wisdom.
Well, actually, it's being used by many. However, you are correct. In the last 20-plus years, that hoop has been traveling all over the U.S., Canada, and into Mexico, providing healing using the 4 gifts and a process with indigenous people. I have been using it since I received those gifts in 1995, incorporated into my corporate training and coaching with Fortune 100 corporations, as well as global nonprofit leaders. And everywhere I go, Brandy, people just, doesn't matter what language they speak around the world, they slow down. We want to write down those 4 gifts because people understand these are pretty simple truths, and they will help us, you know, heal and know that we're connected, that we're not alone, so that we can stop this needless suffering when we act as if we are separate.
The power of the power to forgive the unforgivable. This is a difficult one for many people, and I know that it was particularly difficult for you because of your background, right? How do we forgive people who have done us so wrong in our lives? What is forgiveness, and how do we let that go?
Yes. Well, let's start with what is forgiveness, because I think this is part of the difficulty that people have. Forgiveness really is releasing energy that I and others may be holding on to because of hurts and mistreatments of what did or did not happen in the past. And really what forgiveness is allowing yourself to love yourself. And so what I want to add in is what forgiveness is not, because this is where it's had it much harder for me, because I thought, having been experienced sexual abuse from age 4 to 13, and then to have the murder of my father, which was race-related when I was 13, I mean, I could go on a number of things, huge things that happened. I thought forgiveness was a lack of confidence. I thought forgiveness meant that I had to forget, or I thought forgiveness meant that you just were weak or betrayed groups of people, you know, not only yourself but other people, or that you didn't seek justice, you didn't seek to correct the systems and structures that allowed for that hurt and mistreatment to happen to begin with. And that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness really is about unconditionally loving yourself. And, you know, I'm smiling because I'm thinking about you and what work you do. It is a fine time for healing, and this gift really is a powerful one that can, it's a path to freedom, freedom to truly love ourselves fully and therefore be able to give to others fully as well.
So where do we begin when we've had, you know, I mean, you've had such tragic things happen to you. And I know that when we carry around these burdens, it impacts our life in a very negative way. It makes it very heavy and hard to live. So where do we begin with this kind of forgiveness?
I think the first thing is to not push it away. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm just going to forget that. But it stores inside ourselves. So it's about really putting it out in the light, really looking at it and dealing with it. And dealing with it doesn't mean dealing with it by yourself. In fact, some of these really tough ones, it's virtually we don't do anything by ourselves. Everything, we get support. But on this, I used both Western medicine. So I went to therapists and priests. But I also used alternative. I went to elders, my grandmother, others, and used various methods to remember, to forgive, to begin to see that I'm innately worthy of dignity, and that actually what I was doing, Randy, was taking away my own, because I would create this wall. I called it my armor of separateness. So you're not going to hurt me. You imagine as a small child, you're just like, I'm not always going to hurt me. But what I realized as I began into my teens and early 20s is, wait a minute. We create these walls that separate us from being hurt because we're holding on to old resentments that then also keep out the good stuff. And so I felt like I was starting to kill myself. I was imprisoning myself at minimum from all the good things that are in life of joy and happiness and relationships with others. And so that's the beginning, is to not run away from it, to really listen to yourself and listen to those supports that are around you, which are some two-legged, we call it, people, but also can be nature. I spent a lot of time in nature understanding, oh, I have all this support. And then eventually it just kept unfolding. And I'm so glad. And then the last thing I want to say on that, I mean, there's so much to say about healing and forgiving the unforgivable. But my father was murdered, so I couldn't really reconcile with him. I still needed to, but it wasn't as easy. But my mother was around, and I was able to talk with my mom and confront her. And we had such a long, wonderful relationship at 21 when I confronted her with what had been going on in my life and where was she and stuff. And so I think that she responded in a wonderful way. But whether she did or not, what this is about, this forgiving the unforgivable, is truly about living your best life, freeing yourself to use your energy for what you want to create now, to be present to now, rather than living in the past.
Wow. That's so important, isn't it?
It's huge. It's so huge. If I may, there's because so much is coming up, Randy, around race in that, which is another way. There's some big healings, there's some individual healings, and there's, you know, the larger group healings. And so part of my story that I want to share briefly is that at age 13, my father, I mentioned, was murdered. I'm not going to go into the grueling detail, but he was, you know, earlier that day, a white man and a black man, it was in the 60s, were having an argument. The white man returned later that day and saw just the profile of my father in the bar having a beer after work and fired two bullets and killed him on the spot. And that was horrific. It was, you know, changed all sorts of things in my family. However, it was the following week that also had a profound effect on what I do and how I be in the world, which is a week later, a white woman and her son, who was probably around my age 13, came to the door and said that they were the wife and son of the man who murdered my father. And the woman said to my mom, "I had to come see you, Mrs. Sanchez. I had to let you know that my husband was a good man. He never would have killed your husband if he knew he was Mexican or Native American. He thought he was black." And she went on to say these horrible things about black people. I remember my mom, who's very, very Christian, as well as indigenous practices, but I remember her shaking and just saying, "Wait, stop. screaming and saying, you don't even know what you're saying. You don't even know the hatred you're teaching your son. I want you to know I'm going to try really hard to pray for your soul, but you get off my porch. And that night, my mom talked to us all and told us something that was so critical. She let us know that a white man murdered my father, not the white race. This is really important to really pay attention to what's happening, because when the state of hurt and anger, we can just grow it so huge. And then, lo and behold, Randy, my 40-plus years, and I continue to work on diversity and inclusion all over the world, is I go into corporations doing diversity work, helping people work together, be creative together across differences as well as similarities. And what I began hearing are circles of white men and women, some of whom said their parents did teach them that they were better than people of color in various parts of the world. However, what I got to see, this is the universe provided, what I got to see is these very same white men and women were doing something different. They loved their parents, but that was not the path they were going. That 13-year-old Anita thought that young white boy had only one path, which was to be anger, hatred, racism, like his father. But that was wrong. That is wrong. And I'm saying this story because I want your listeners, whatever that is that you're holding, we are so worthy of letting go of the pain, you know, and being present, really present with all our energy to what is unfolding now. We are so needed in this world, being healed. It is a fine time for healing. I love your brand.
You actually say, I don't know if I will ever meet the son of the man who murdered my father, but I would want him to know that I am sorry that he had to grow up knowing that his father was a murderer. Mm-hmm. I lost my father that summer day, and so did he. Today, if he appeared on my porch, instead of having him stay outside, I would invite him in.
Indeed, I would.
And that's a very different approach. You know, another thing that struck me, and I guess this really goes with the forgiveness, and I guess it's really more about hope, but when Henrietta says to you, Anita, you think that the worst thing that's ever happened to our people was to have been murdered and to have our sacred lands taken, you are wrong. The worst thing that can happen to our people or to any people is to lose hope. So how does this fit into this whole pattern of forgiveness and unity and healing? I mean, I guess the fourth one is hope, really. The fourth one is hope.
Yeah, the fourth one's hope. So I'll talk about that. But you've already tapped into, which is wonderful. Thank you for reading my book, is that these gifts you can look at individually, but the reality, they're intimately interconnected. And that's why I use all four. But hope plays a huge role because hope is an endless energy source. Some people write about it now and say, oh, forget about that hope. It just caused people to be indifferent, paralysis. That's not the hope that Indigenous people are talking about. That's not the hope that groups of people, Indigenous people, who were subject to genocide, not only in the Americas but around the world, are still here. And part of it, there's a quote that says, we're here because they tried to bury us, but they forgot we are seeds. In other words, we're meant to regenerate. We're meant to heal all the time. And the hope is the energy source that allows us to do that. So part of my work that I do with corporate leaders and community leaders is dream. Oh, my gosh, we got to dream. We got to allow ourselves to image something better than what is right in front of us. Because when we do that, it pulls us. We know with our brain, we know much more about neuroscience, our brain, how it works, that it actually, there is a chemical thing that happens in pulling us towards it. But we've known this throughout time from the wisdom keepers that, you know, be careful what you think, be careful what you say, because once you put it out, you can't return it. That means that it pulls you forward. So that hope, oh, my gosh, Randy, you can see I'm excited about that. Hope helped me so much. And I see it helping inside of businesses who are upset with what's happening and, you know, all the challenges, what's happening with the environment, you know. And it's like, okay, there may be facts to the contrary that makes this look really challenging, even overwhelming at times. But guess what? That's not all that is there. This, throughout time, human beings have drawn on vision, gratitude, imagining amazing possibilities, and then gone toward that, not only as individuals, but as groups of people. And that's what this gift is about, hope in action. That is a powerful gift.
I think hope is so important because, you know, I work with people who have suffered tremendous domestic kind of abuse through narcissism. Mm-hmm. And often when they come to me, they're feeling very hopeless because they're so beaten down and no one's ever really heard them or validated them, and they just don't think they're ever going to get better. And offering them the hope that they're okay and that they're understood, someone understands them and someone can help them, it's like a weight lifts off of people, knowing
yes,
that there is this possibility. It's amazing what hope can do.
Yes,
we never
want to
really lose that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in fact, I'm pretty strong about this. Again, all these gifts are invitation from the elders. Nothing is a requirement. However, I really found that hope is a choice. You choose to have hope or to not have hope. And that reality is, even for really tough what you deal with narcissists, is that, you know, we can give it away. We can, which it sounds like you re-enliven in them to understand, wait a minute, this is yours. This never belonged to this person who has their own healing to do, obviously.
Yes.
That is to really to know that that is your source, and that every day, I think one of the practices I have to be able to do, an indigenous practice, is every day we look at the morning star, which really is Venus, the planet. But it's just with the sun rising, the morning star, whatever it is, and just give thanks, give gratitude. It's a new day. It's we can start again, we can be present, we can heal, we can use all of these gifts, we can use hope to help drive us. And that hope, for me, when I went away to college at 16 and came to Colorado, that's where I just, hope just sort of sprang. It was like, oh my gosh, just seeing all these amazing things that was possible that I thought my whole reality, when one is in pain or hurt, you think it's only, that's all there is. And that's the illusion. That's the illusion of pain, of separateness. But once that gets broken, started to be broken open, then you can see, wow, I'm part of this larger. So, yeah, difficult things are going to happen. That's part of human experience. But one doesn't have to spiral downward and get stuck and lose hope. It's just too important of an energy source, and we need it. We need it so badly.
Right. And how do we do that when we are feeling stuck? We reach out. We reach out to others who we can help them or they can help us. I mean, how do you see that?
Well, definitely. In addition to what we were just talking about, the hope, I'm just so delighted to speak to you because what I see you is you're good medicine. Okay, so in part of there's a healing process that happens, right? And it's not a one-time event, and it's not about just going to the pharmacy and getting a pill, and I'm not arguing that. I use Western medicine too. But what the kind of healing I'm talking about, when I looked at indigenous various kinds of healings all over the world, there were four elements that were present in all these healings. It was just a pattern, whether you were using sitting and talking in circle, or you were using sweat lodges, or, you know, a dance, or whatever the methodology was. The four elements that were present for the power of healing was first listening. Second was supportive relationships. The third thing I found was unconditional love. And the fourth was committing to creative positive action. And so when you said reaching out, that's the reaching out to supportive relationships. That's the people, of course, as you experience so much, people reaching to you because they know that you've done your work. Did you have the capacity to provide that? So those are the four elements that I've seen in that power of healing that can help us move forward. But that reaching out, the supportive relationships is one of the four that's really key.
Right. And that can be very frightening if you've reached out and nobody's been there on the receiving end to help you. You know, it's mm-hmm. But I believe that the human spirit, there's so much power in the human spirit, and that we just, there's just something in us that just doesn't give up.
I agree. Absolutely. And so I have some personal experience in that, especially as a young child. I truly believe that by age 9, with all the stuff that had was happening to me, there was a terrible limiting belief that went into my mind, which was that I would never be free. And so when you're in that kind of depths of the hurt and mistreatment, then even when I thought I was reaching out to somebody, I wouldn't even take their help. In hindsight, I could see that. So what happened is that using that listening, so having to listen to yourself, what's really going on for yourself, as well as listening to others. And for me, Randy, it wasn't human beings that I reached out to at first. It was truly nature. It was just going outside, sitting next to a tree. It was going into park, going to museums, just looking at other people's lives, what their lives might be like, to begin to open up the possibility that there was something different than what I was experiencing in my life. And, of course, I had the Indigenous elders and my amazing grandmother, all the different ways that, you know, could help. So these exist. They're always there. There's always support there. But as you said, if you think you've continually reached out and it's not been there, well, then it's just another place you need to look, but also need to check yourself that you may not be being open to receiving, to the loving oneself. But even that process, it's not a judgment. If they failed in getting some, that was a step closer to finding the support they needed. So I just think we're amazing. Like you said, we're amazing beings. It is compelling to us to be healthy and whole.
Yes, thank you for validating that. I appreciate that. This is so important what you're talking about in this book that you've written, because we are in really a society that feels very separate. So how do we begin? I mean, I know every change begins with each of us, but how do we begin to unify humanity again? It's been such a long time since it was unified.
Yes. It feels like that, doesn't it? Because the disunity we're seeing is so great, the depression, the crime, the drug, suicide, physical, mental, I mean, I go on. And then we look at politics and community split and separate in different colors of states and all this stuff that just seems like there is no way around it. But the reality is that's where we can sit. This is where I tell you, we can't Google wisdom. So even though I'm never giving up my smartphone or my computer, at times we need to set those aside and get still and really ask ourselves some questions. Just, you know, when we're breathing, just even breathing, take some breaths, because what do we think? You know, what messages are we giving ourselves or others giving us about are we connected or are we separate? And I think when people ask those questions, they begin to see, usually they have some of both, but they can see where it's really, oh my gosh, if I truly believe I'm only an individual and I'm totally separate and I have to do everything on my own, oh my gosh, what a hard, tough life to live. But when one gets still, and I'm saying still, just even, you don't have to meditate for 45 minutes. I'm just saying walking quietly, sitting still, is you begin to realize, oh my gosh, I got so much support. I'm breathing. Those trees cleaned the carbon so that I have oxygen. Thank you. You know, you begin to see all the food that I eat. Oh my gosh, the earth. Thank you, earth. Thank you, people who till that earth. Thank you for the, you know, you begin to see all the ways in which we're not alone, that we exist in a circle, in unity. So it's about really discovering these limiting belief systems that we have. Because if the other thing that I found is that as we're working on the gift of unity, again, whether in the workplace or in the larger community, if one does not feel that, then we undermine ourselves for lots of things that we're trying to improve, because we're in our own way. We're on our own way of being able to receive the flow of giving and receiving. And it's meant to be. You know, that unity is meant to flow. And I could give you all sorts of science, which I won't. There's all sorts of biological. We now know that, you know, how anything that is happening, for example, it was happening in China with the wind and things being covered and landing in Nebraska, right? And there was particular kind of things, minerals in that wind that actually served. So we can be of good medicine, meaning anything that puts in alignment the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, or we can be bad medicine, which is anything that takes it apart. And when I say bad medicine, I'm not just talking about to others. I'm talking about to ourselves. Are we being good medicine to ourselves? And part of the good medicine is really looking at what are the belief systems we hold? What are we being told? And choosing for ourselves. And I'd say this is a big one. This is the wisdom keepers of different indigenous groups around the world is one of the uniform things is the gift of unity, understanding that we are not separate. We are all connected. We are all related.
And I hear this, you know, from so many different kinds of sources, spiritual sources. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about the indigenous, that we all come from the same place. We are all connected. And yet it's so hard to feel that. You know, with all this political uproar and everything mm-hmm. like that, you know, so many people are protesting and fighting it, trying to make change and fight against it and everything like that. And to me, that seems like such the wrong thing to do, because when we put up that resistance, we only create more resistance. You know, I think that the important thing is to go back to love and harmony within ourselves and approach it from that and think in the in terms of that kind of thinking. And that's how we make the change, not by fighting against it. What is your perspective on that?
Yeah, well, I'm in agreement with you in that whenever we use warring or negative or against kind of energy, there becomes an othering of other beings. And that causes a friction, and it sort of spirals and keeps going. But I do believe that it is time for us to raise our voices, to do our actions, but it's how we do it. And that's what I hear what you're saying too, which is take a stand for, you know, so I take a stand for, you know, for clean air. I take a stand for animals, not only our children, all of our children growing up, but the futures of other species children. But I'm not going to use my energy about battling against someone. I'm going to use my energy to create. And also, I think when we get into judgment, negative judgment, I've done this. I've used my energy pointing at other people and say, it's your fault, and you did this, and this took this away from me. And you know, when you point, there's three fingers coming back at yourself. And that's not to say that you don't do good, but it's like, where is this lying in me where I am separating inside myself? Where isn't this in me that I'm not loving myself? And so it's go forward. Some people aren't ready to embrace life in the same way. And so, okay, you're doing the best you can, and I am, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to, you know, keep working for that, the thought that, and the science that reinforces it, but that we are all related, and that anything that we do to ourselves has an impact on other, and vice versa. And so why wouldn't one want to lead with the heart, with love and care? And that includes speaking the truth, but it's how one does that. So it's so, so powerful. An image popped up in my head. I know we've all seen this with the political and the racial stuff. And I've seen, you know, where it's just horrible to see people lose their son or daughter and shot or, you know, just some of the racist things happening. I hate hearing policemen getting killed, all of that. But what I'm always awed by is when the father or mother of a person who was killed in the middle of a peaceful demonstration of just asking for change, and they forgive the person. They forgive them. And I think it's because they understand that we are energy and that we can use our energy to create what we want rather than creating what we don't want. That's what I heard what you're saying, and I'm with you on that. Let's create what we want, life-giving relationships. And all four of these gifts, so it's easy to say, oh, unity, we're all one. I mean, you're right. In every different wisdom tradition, not just indigenous and spiritual tradition, you see this. And that's why in this Eagle Hoop prophecy, it came forward, because it said, we've been in a great winter and we need to prepare for spring. But the human beings have forgotten about this unity. So use these four gifts. If you use forgiving them forgivable, if you use unity, if you use healing, and if you use hope and action, I will tell you, as someone who's been using them for 20-some years and helping other people use them, you will know when you are in right relationship with yourself and with others, and you will know very quickly when you are not, and then you can correct, because we're human beings. We're going to falter, but that doesn't mean we have to stay stuck, and that unity just keeps bringing it back. So to me, it's sort of, I say, you know, facts to the contrary, I know it's possible because I'm not doing it by myself. There's many of us. That's a powerful place to come from.
It is a powerful place to come from. This is so inspiring, Anita. So if we don't have the hoop before us, what is the best way for us to envision these four sacred gifts and to begin to utilize them? Because they're more than words on the paper. So, and when you see the hoop, you know, that becomes very powerful, but we don't all have the hoop. So is there a meditation, a prayer, or something that we can use to help us to connect with this wisdom?
Right, and there's many ways. I really believe in diversity. So I think part of it is how you can connect with these wisdom is, one, just use the four of them, use them, but get quiet at times and just allow these gifts. You see, Spirit makes no mistake, we all already have these gifts. It's about a reawakening them. It's about remembering them. So sometimes just giving yourself the quiet time to allow the wisdom to come forward, because wisdom can be found inside yourself. It can be found in nature. It can be found in other human beings like the true indigenous elders and others. So it's just about being still and really paying attention to that. So, yeah, there are prayers, and I'm sure you have practices too every morning and every night. Part of my practice is I do a chant, which is just giving gratitude to the great mystery, because I won't know everything, but I'm moving forward. And then I also just give thanks from my toes before I get out of bed, these work and up to my head and out, and all the beings that are in my life. And so I think these kind of practices, we know in science now too, reinforces it, that when we put ourselves in that state of quietness, of allowing ourselves to be present, to just concentrate our own breath, to give thanks for what's around us, to sing, to dance. There's so many different ways, Randy. So it's just whatever allows you to begin to feel the fullness of you, the life-giving to yourself, that's what we keep doing. So in my book, though, there are a number of different exercises and meditations and chants and quotes, and I also identify places people can go. And people can see the hoop not only in my book, but if you go to Don Coyas, White Bison is the keeper of the hoop. And that hoop belongs to all humankind, not just indigenous people. And so you could actually view it. And it may be, who knows, traveling somewhere nearer you. It's a powerful, powerful, like anything, when we go into a church or a synagogue or just to a very spiritual place in nature, you can feel the love and caring. The past, present, and future all become one, right? It's just a fullness of that. And so that is still possible, too. I brought that hoop to the National Association of Independent Schools. Some 6,700 people saw that a year plus ago. I'm bringing it to the World Dignity Forum. Don Coyas and his people are going to bring that in October, where we're raising around the world the whole notion of dignity and how we do that, again, is use those four gifts. They'll help us remember the innate dignity we are worthy of and every other being is worthy of.
Wow. I love that. I would love to see that. It just sounds so amazing. And what I thought, as I'm hearing 100 eagle feathers, where do they get 100 eagle feathers from?
Exactly. So that's part of the power of when a true vision happens. So when Don had this vision back in early 94, he went to his council afterwards and just said, you know, this is what, and they said, yeah, you had a vision. This was not a dream. You must do it. So then the call went out, and he said, but where am I going to get 100 eagle feathers? And sure enough, they started showing up. You know, people would start come, other indigenous, all over the world, even from South America, people begin coming. And so when the weekend came where they were all gathering, 100 eagle feathers were present.
That is so cool.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah, it is totally, totally amazing and wonderful.
Right, because,
and there
right,
it shows
I mean,
exactly, we're all connected, you know, that came forward. When we imagine healing, all of a sudden people start showing up, you know, positive people start showing up. We want life-giving relationships. We got to be clear about what it is we want.
I agree. This is so inspiring. I'm so grateful for you being my guest today. And so we're talking about your book, The Four Sacred Gifts and Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Times. And to my listeners, we're talking with Dr. Anita Sanchez. So how do we find out more about you and purchase your book?
Yes. You can go to foursacredgifts.com, F-O-U-R, foursacredgifts.com, and you can download a free song as well that was made with the messages in my book. But you can also go to bookstores. It's Simon & Schuster's my publisher, so it's in the bookstores, and you can find it. It's an ebook, audio, hardback. I mean, you can find it in its different forms, and I really appreciate that. And the elders, I just have to tell you, the elders are smiling, I know, in the different parts of the world, knowing that your listeners and others are seeing the truth of these gifts inside themselves and wanting to move further in integrating, remembering them on a daily basis to uplift their lives. You know, it's just really wonderful. So I'm smiling ear to ear, too. So thank you so much, Randy.
And I'm smiling, too. You're so very welcome. It's been a pleasure meeting you and talking about this. And I look forward to looking into this and really seeing for myself what this looks like, this sacred hoop. So thank you so much again for being my guest, and I wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Goodbye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.